gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. Glad you're here with us. We got a lot to talk about. We got experts coming on to talk about it with us. Of course, the Iran war continues in its many vicissitudes. David Pine will be joining me in the next hour. He is the president of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, an expert in nuclear technology, in particular EMP technology. We'll talk about technologically where we're at in this war, as it is unlike any war that has come before. Even the Ukraine-Russia war had a heavy amount of infantry battles in fields. This is the first, as far as I can tell, like full-fledged all-out war that is entirely people in bunkers pressing buttons and sending missiles at one another. A brave new form of warfare that we're still, I think, wrapping our minds around. We have a lot to discuss, and we'll take your phone calls in the third hour. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 10th of March, 2026. Trump advisors urge him to find Iran exit ramp, fearing political backlash. This is the story from Washington Post. President Trump said he was eyeing a quick end to the war in Iran, characterizing the military mission as mostly achieved. Some of President Trump's advisors urged an exit plan amid spiking oil prices and concerns about political backlash. President Trump has made conflicting statements on the war, and some administration officials said it was unlikely that the U.S. could easily withdraw from the conflict. Meanwhile, South Korea says they can deter threats if U.S. weapons are redeployed to the Middle East. Patriot missile defense systems in South Korea may be moved to the Middle East to make up for the multiple systems that have been outright destroyed by Iran. Concerns over regional defense gaps if U.S. assets such as Patriot missiles are diverted. North Korea may misinterpret U.S. weapons relocation, analysts warn. Yeah, that we care about some allies more than others. I would hope that message is becoming clear. South Korea can deter any threats from North Korea, even if Washington redeploys weapons stationed in the country, President Lee Jae-myung said on Tuesday after reports of a U.S. missile defense system were being sent to the Middle East. Reports on shifting key U.S. military assets have sparked concern in Asia about the potential gaps in regional defenses if Washington diverts ships and missiles used to deter military flexing by China and North Korea to other theaters to the Middle East to deal with a very successful string of Iranian attacks. So just keep that in mind, all right? Because you're going to hear a lot of confusing things today about how we're doing amazing and we're on the march and Iran is completely collapsed and can't do anything. But also we might be moving THAAD batteries from South Korea to the Middle East. These two things are obviously contradictory because one of them is true and one of them is a lie. Is this happening right now or is this from... If this is live, let's go to this. This is General Kane outlining Operation Epic Fury objectives. Tell you what, we'll finish the Daily Dispatch. We'll do a 90-second break, and then I'd like to go to that if that's live or if we can back it up. Meanwhile, U.S. asks Israel to halt strikes on Iran's energy infrastructure. The Trump administration asked Israel on Monday to not carry out any further strikes on energy facilities in Iran, particularly oil infrastructure, according to three sources familiar with the matter. The U.S. request marks the first time the Trump administration has reined in Israel since the two countries launched their joint operation against Iran 10 days ago. The Israeli strikes blanketed Tehran, a city of 10 million, in toxic black smoke and acid rain, raising urgent health warnings for ordinary Iranians. The U.S. messages were conveyed to a senior political level and to IDF Chief of Staff Eyal Zamir, an Israeli official said. Again, we'll return to that in just a little bit. But I don't think this is going to end anytime soon. Iran vows eye for an eye, not seeking a ceasefire amid reports of 150 U.S. troops wounded so far. So, yes, it has been admitted that nearly 150 troops from the U.S. have been wounded so far, and Iran basically is still rejecting any calls for a ceasefire, as again, they are seeking to fully change the situation in an irreversible way. Finally, this story, CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document with potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. Yeah, do you know how much money cancer makes?
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is, what is it now, day 10 of the war? And things are not any less absurd today than they were yesterday. More so, in fact, because we've now gone from two-day war, 48-hour operation to, I mean, you know the cycle. But at this point, Trump's like, and we're almost done. And we're about to declare victory. So, all right, whatever. Just, okay, good. Declare victory. I think we should declare victory and leave the Middle East forever. Concerns over U.S. weapons stockpiles grow as Iran war strains missile defense systems. U.S. and Israeli strikes on Iran have raised concerns among Democrats and others about diminishing American stockpiles of certain weapons, illustrating a longstanding production problem that some experts say could present challenges if another conflict emerges. The ongoing U.S. and military campaign against Iran has intensified these concerns because we are, well, I think we used 4 years worth of Patriot missiles in the first 4 days, something along those lines. However, as of yet, I don't know. I'm kind of turning around on this whole war thing. Not really. Not really in any way that's significant at all. But like so far, the outcome has been total devastation of American military bases overseas, which I don't like anyway. Bombing Tel Aviv, which is sad if it kills innocent people, but it's not exactly like they don't deserve it to some degree after 2 years of Gaza and now Lebanon and Syria and everywhere else. So I don't know. I mean, so far it seems like Iran is absolutely kicking butt across the board. And by the way, it keeps coming out making statements saying, we're not at war with the American people. We're trying to free you from the Zionist control. And it's like, all right, cool. I'm kind of down with that. I don't know. Everything's gone topsy-turvy. But of course, as was obvious to anybody paying attention, the casualty numbers have been massively undercounted. Let's go to clip number 23 here. This is Caroline Levitt earlier today talking about servicemen that were wounded in the Middle East. Let's watch.
Reuters has reported that about 150 U.S. Service members have been injured so far. Can you confirm that number and elaborate on that?
I can't confirm the exact number. I know it's within that ballpark, but I would defer you to the Pentagon for a specific number of wounded or injured thus far.
And then second.
So, as many as 150 U.S. troops wounded in Iran war, sources say this according to Reuters, as many as 150 troops have been wounded in the Iran war. Two sources familiar with the matter told Reuters the figure has not been previously reported and is far higher than the Pentagon's public disclosed figure of 8 seriously wounded U.S. forces. In a statement after Reuters published its report, the Pentagon estimated the figure to be approximately 140 wounded and said the vast majority of them were minor. Chief Pentagon spokesperson Sean Parnell said 108 of the wounded service members had already returned to duty. But of course, we've already shown you, and there's more examples now of servicemen in Kuwait and other places with U.S. bases dying from mysterious medical emergencies that are ill-defined and probably a lie. Dan Kane has been giving a presentation about the Iran war. We're going to go to that. We backed it up about 20 minutes at the very beginning, see if we can get the key information here. Let's go ahead and go to the press conference with Dan Kane, the military chief. PXF introducing him.
Well, to our fellow Americans, brave warriors, and steadfast allies, good morning. You know, as someone who led troops, led soldiers in the streets of Baghdad and Samarra, Iraq, and who trained counterinsurgents in Kabul, Afghanistan, and who still carries the weight of brothers lost to Iranian terrorist proxies, many backed by the same Iranian regime we're confronting now, this fight, Operation Epic Fury, it hits home. Our generation understands this fight. For 47 years, these barbaric savages in the Iranian regime have murdered our brothers in arms, my guys, your guys, our guys, through their terrorist proxies and cowardly attacks. Now they race toward a nuclear bomb to hold the world hostage. The Iranians have targeted and killed thousands of my American brothers. That race to a nuclear bomb, President Trump will never allow it. Not now, not ever, not on our watch. The mullahs are desperate and scrambling. Like the terrorist cowards they are, they fire missiles from schools and hospitals, deliberately targeting innocents, because they know their military is being systematically degraded and annihilated. Iran's neighbors, and in some cases, former allies in the Gulf, they've abandoned them. And their proxies, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas, either broken, ineffective, or on the sidelines. Iran stands alone, and they are badly losing. On day 10 of Operation Epic Fury, we are winning with an overwhelming and unrelenting focus on our objectives, which are the same as the day I gave my first briefing here on Operation Epic Fury. They're straightforward, and we are executing them with ruthless precision. One, destroy their missile stockpiles, their missile launchers, and their defense industrial base. Missiles and their ability to make them. Two, destroy their navy. And three, permanently deny Iran nuclear weapons forever. It's a laser-focused, maximum authority mission delivered with overwhelming and unrelenting precision. No hesitation, no half measures. As President Trump declared yesterday, we're crushing the enemy in an overwhelming display of technical skill and military force. We will not relent until the enemy is totally and decisively defeated. But we do so. We do so on our timeline and at our choosing. For example, today will be yet again our most intense day of strikes inside Iran. The most fighters, the most bombers, the most strikes. Intelligence more refined and better than ever. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, the last 24 hours have seen Iran fire the lowest number of missiles they've been capable of firing yet. Just the bifurcation, just the trend lines that we talked about on our first briefing. You see, this is not 2003. This is not endless nation building under those types of quagmires we saw under Bush or Obama. It's not even close. Our generation of soldier will not let that happen again, and nor will this president, who very clearly ran against those kinds of never-ending, nebulously scoped missions. Those days are dead. Instead, we're winning decisively with brutal efficiency, total air dominance, and an unbreakable will to accomplish the president's objectives on our timeline. We stay locked on the target because here at the Department of War, that's our job. Now, the chairman and I, having just returned from Dover last night, our troops and their families, and the enormous sacrifice that they made is certainly heavy on my mind. So I'll close with scripture, drawing strength from Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge. May the Lord grant unyielding strength and refuge to our warriors, unbreakable protection to them in our homeland, and total victory over those who seek to harm them. And amen. God bless our troops and this mission. Mr. Chairman, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, everyone.
We'll go back to the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dan Kane, here in just a second. Just want to note a few things about Hegseth's speech. Typical of what you'd expect, I guess, of a Secretary of War. However, took down some notes. I was just bullet pointing each thing he said. And some of these things are, like, provably untrue. Others are just blanket statements that you can't even try to claim are true. I mean, start off by saying, again, the classic refrain we've been hearing is that Iran and their proxies have killed thousands and thousands of Americans. I would love for them to explain what that means. What does that mean? Who and when and why? Like, what are you talking about? Can you point to any of the thousand people, perhaps? I mean, best case scenario, we're talking the mid-80s truck bomb against American soldiers being planted there. Like, you know, again, what are we talking about? If we're predicating a war on this, I would like a little bit more specificity than Iran has killed thousands of Americans at some point in the past. It's not actually a valid cause of anything, a war or a military action. It's just crazy. Racing to a nuclear bomb. They're racing towards a nuclear bomb. They are running flat out, and we have to trip them. I think that's debatable. I think it's debatable whether what is happening right now is doing anything other than solidifying forever their desire for a nuclear weapon, knowing that anything short of a nuclear weapon leaves you vulnerable. So I don't know if it's true. I'm sick of this war being predicated on, like, metaphors. They're racing towards a nuclear bomb. What does that mean? Are they actually trying to develop a nuclear bomb? And if so, like, what does that mean? And why is this the only path to take? These aren't reasons for a war. They just aren't. But they're racing. They're racing towards a nuclear bomb. And then, of course, he tries to sort of cover his butt in a not very subtle way. They're firing missiles from schools as if that's the reason why we bombed an elementary school. And the whole bombing the elementary school saga is an interesting one. Basically, on the first day of bombing, an elementary school was directly targeted, and it was not a valid military site. However, it was the place where a lot of the IRGC commanders sent their children. So we killed a bunch of children of our enemies on the first day. It was sort of some back and forth about who exactly launched that attack. But then video footage of the attack came out, and it was clearly an American Tomahawk missile that struck the school. So now America is sort of taking the blame for that strike. But you have people very close to the administration and with high up knowledge, people like Laura Ingraham, who keeps insisting that the full investigation has to come out. And basically the speculation is that this school was targeted either with information from the Israelis, meaning that, you know, it was an American bomb, but with Israeli intelligence telling us to strike there, or it was Claude and AI telling us to strike the school, either one of which would be a gigantic scandal, which would sort of demand, you know, institutional changes in our warfighting process. So while it was an American missile, there's still a lot of questions about why that missile was sent to that school, whether it was on purpose or an accident, whether it was bad intelligence or a bad decision by AI. Regardless, we're still waiting answers on that hand. But obviously, when Pete Hegseth says they're launching missiles from schools, for one thing, I don't believe him in the slightest. We've seen videos of Iranian missiles coming literally from just the sand in the desert. You know, at least you have an argument to make when it comes to Gaza, when it's such a cramped place and you have so many tunnels, you know, like a labyrinth underneath the entire city. You could at least make the argument that Hamas, whether out of strategy or necessity, probably did have some stuff under some schools at some point. Not that that makes them then a valid target, but to then make that same claim with Iran, it just doesn't make any sense. But none of this makes any sense. He insists that we are winning, which is a little strange because we keep asking for talks to Iran and Iran keeps rebuffing us, which is not the, you know, paradigm that would occur if, in fact, we were winning. And actually, before I move on, I want to go to a video here of an Israeli, actually. Let's go to clip 12 here, because this is Glenn Greenwald questioning a military commander of Israel, just on the question of, since Pete Hegseth brought it up and said, you know, Iran is shooting schools out of, or shooting missiles out of schools. Again, I'd love to see some evidence of that, or even some logic that means that that would make sense for them to do. That's just crazy, but okay, that's fine. I think it's all pure projection. I think the whole time the claim of using human shields has been projection. Let's go to clip 12 now.
It is astounding to me that somebody like Mike Pence or so many other people who lied to the public continuously, led our country into disastrous wars one after the next, are now just speaking as though none of it ever happened. It would be like as if a journalist, I published 8 or 9 different fraudulent stories with fake quotes and fake sources, and then the next day I woke up and said, oh, I know I did those things in the past, but I think I should still have credibility for you to listen to my reporting today, even though I did all of that. The other point I want to make is, I want to ask Jonathan, because I mean, honestly, it is very, very difficult, I have to confess, not just for me, but for the world, as the polls show, to listen to an Israeli official in an Israeli accent give lectures on the need to have compassion for civilians after everything we just watched Israel do, vaporizing tens of thousands of people in Gaza, all throughout the Middle East, attacking countries. But since he is here, I do want to ask him, Jonathan, there's a lot of reports in mainstream Western press about how the IDF has built its primary military and intelligence structures, not just within key residential areas in Tel Aviv, but also underneath. Is it true that the IDF has built key military and intelligence targets within residential areas of Tel Aviv and beneath residential targets in Tel Aviv, the way that the Western media has continuously reported? Is that actually true?
Yeah, I can give a relatively short and plain answer to it. Surprising question. I've read some of your reporting and you seem like an informed guy. Yes, the IDF headquarters, referred to as the Kirya, is indeed located in Tel Aviv. It is surrounded by civilian buildings and inside the headquarter, not underneath civilians, but underneath the headquarter itself, is a bunker, which is not a revolutionary concept of militaries. And that bunker is a few stories below ground. Its name is indeed the Zion Citadel. And that is where some of the Israeli officers, generals, conduct military operations from. I suppose some of the strikes, if not all of the strikes that are ongoing in Iran today, are managed from there.
So, again, it's like, so you're using human. So what you're saying is that you're using human shields, and that everybody above you or around you is therefore a valid military target, and you have nothing to complain about. You probably shouldn't have started this precedent. Like you, and even now, it's actually funny on X. You'll have Mossad, like literal Mossad accounts saying, "You know, this is against international law," and then under it will be a community note being like, here's the 5 times that this account has scoffed at and, you know, insulted the very concept of international law. Because for the past 2 years, you've been making very, you know, compelling arguments against the need to care about the civilians around where you're murdering people. So Hegseth goes on to say the proxies are broken, which is also not true, considering the fact that there's a million Israelis right now in shelters in the north of their country as Hezbollah mounts successful raid after successful raid into the Israeli population. They are, however, killing, priests in Catholic churches that refuse to leave. So that's not going well for them. He says they've destroyed their missiles again. Then what was hitting Tel Aviv last night? That's a little confusing. He wants to deny their nuclear weapons. And the sort of scary thing is, he's like, this is different than the other wars because we have hard and fast and specific, like, goals. And it's like, do you not remember Iraq or Afghanistan? No, there were also very easy to accomplish and specific goals to start. Like, he's talking as if in 2003, you had a bunch of neocons going, we are going to get into Iraq and, for whatever reason, and stay there. We're creating a boondoggle quagmire, and we will be there forever. No, they sold the Iraq war with literally exactly the same lies that they're selling the Iran war. It's just shocking. It's just like, yeah, it's different this time because we are going to be hyper-focused on their weapons of mass destruction and leaving them a chaotic state. Like, in a weird way, the Iran war is the war that has aims that are forever, right? The Iran war's actual ultimate aims, according to Israel and America, sort of aligned with what Pete Hegseth, it's to leave Iraq as a totally broken, functionless quagmire. Like, that's the goal. That's actually their goal. Now, he says that it's to destroy the missiles, destroy the Navy, destroy the nuclear weapons, but the war started out by bombing all of the leadership to death. So, like, how does that achieve these goals? Like, this is the thing. If these are the goals, then you probably would have gone after these things first. But first, you destroyed all of the civilian leadership, and then you destroyed all the civilian structure, and you're bombing hospitals and elementary schools and police stations in Iran to create a conflict that will last forever. So not only is he wrong about how the Iraq war was sold, actually, if any sort of war is being waged here with sort of ill-defined and possibly infinite goals, it's the Iran war. It's just completely absurd. And then from Infowars.com, Iran says they will decide when the war is over, not the U.S. On Tuesday, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps responded to President Trump's announcement that the Iran war is complete by saying that Iran will decide when the war is over, not Washington. Trump said, quote, I think the war is very complete, pretty much. They have no Navy, no communications, no Air Force. If you look, they've got nothing left. There's nothing left in a military sense. Iran responds saying it is we who will determine the end of the war. The equations and future status of the region are now in the hands of the armed forces. American forces will not end the war. That seems to be the situation. I'm not sure what leverage we would have to end the war if we wanted to. The initiative is not on our side. It's on their side. And all we can do is hope to continue to degrade their missile launching capabilities. But at this point, it's a war of attrition, and they already have a massive leg up, and that's before we even get into boots on the ground, which does look like it's happening just like we told you that it would. And we'll show you those clips on the other side. Senator Blumenthal, Democrats, coming out and speaking out against this. We'll show you clips from Lindsey Graham yesterday, just paving the way for a radical leftist to take over his Senate seat. Thank you, Lindsey Graham. Israel thanks you. We'll be right back.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's...
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Tabor's endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free, you're it's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail, doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's just been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexshowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Talking about the Iran war, we'll be joined by David Pine. He is an expert on nuclear warfare. He'll be joining us in the second hour, and then we'll take your calls in the third hour. I want to go now to clip number 21. This is by a ex-user called Vincent Scott. And I'll just tell you right now, I don't agree with his interpretation or analysis here. But I think it's worth bringing you because it's so far as I've found the most lucid explanation of how this Iran war can be viewed from a strategic point of view as a good or necessary thing. And I don't agree with it. I'll explain why on the other side. But I want to show this video as he could have a point. You know, there could be aspects to this that are legitimate. But I also feel like there's this mindset that I keep seeing everywhere that I'm having trouble defining. And it's just sort of an autistic way of looking at the world, actually, now that I think about it, where like you completely remove the humanity or morality of what's happening and you just look at it kind of like you're a robot. And it's combined with a sort of de facto absolute trust in the establishment. And I'll explain kind of what I mean. And there's also an aspect of an inability to foresee second order effects. And I think this mindset is what's gotten us into a lot of trouble these days, because you have a lot of people making decisions about war and peace and, you know, depopulation and ethnic cleansing. And it's being treated as if it's very clinical and almost like a computer program. Just, we'll move this population over here. And it strips the people there of their humanity. And it lacks the understanding that, like, people aren't just going to let you do that. And they're going to be mad at you. And there's going to be backlash to that. And even if you succeed in forcing what you want to happen, you will have just created a simmering, you know, pot of vengeance just waiting for you. So I want to show this video again to highlight what I think is a very pernicious mindset in the modern world of very smart people kind of being very casually evil about things. Let's watch.
What'd I tell you? Yeah? So in the lead up to all of this, remember I said Trump built consensus. That's why no one opposed going into Iran meaningfully and cut deals. So Putin was just talking with Trump today about solutions to Iran. They already know what they're going to do. And at the same time, he's saying he's going to cut off energy to Europe. But he still needs to sell and they still need to buy. So what's the play here? Well, clearly, Putin is going to send his energy down the Caucasus over the Trump-brokered Armenian-Azerbaijan Trump highway. That means we got interest there through the Gulf of Arabia out to the Indian Ocean to Asia. You know, they got markets too, and, you know, going from Arctic and Pacific down Asia, but this is a little bit more direct route. So Russia's going to be taken care of. And people are saying, oh, this is a big bad thing against China. No, it's not either, because China want to do the Belt and Road through Iran up to Turkey into the Europe. But who can you talk to in the Iranian leadership? No one knows. So everybody was just done dealing with these people. You can't talk to them. They're instability. They're a problem. So now it's getting solved. Trump's underwriting all the shipping that's going through the Strait of Hormuz, cutting out London. You know, and the ships there are just turning off their transponders and going through anyway. We got total air and naval superiority throughout it all. And like I said, all these other countries have their strategic reserves. And one whiff of that. Trump has a plan for everything. Okay, everything's been accounted for in the lead up to this and throughout it. You know, AI is targeting all of these people. Like, it's scanning real time all of Iran for the launchers. It doesn't matter how many missiles they got. They can't launch them anymore. So clearly these are the plays. Get them back up to stable production, just like with Venezuela. Venezuela, far better production now. And energy crises are going to crash after this. We're going to have more resources out onto market, more ways and trade lanes of goods moving through the Mid-Asian corridor, which is good for all of humanity to drop the cost of living. Now, getting Maduro out, excellent, because now, A, Venezuela's back to production, all that, but he's singing like canary about the politicians that were taking payoffs, taking the illegal immigrants, not to mention the stealing of the elections. And Trump's putting the pressure on to get Save Act First done to secure the elections. Because if you think about it, it makes sense. If you get the Save Act done first, that means now there are electoral consequences to these senators and congressmen. So therefore, they have to negotiate. Because if there's no electoral consequence, there's no reason to make a deal for anything. So you get Save Act done first, and then Clarity Act, and then, you know, we're off to the races. So everything's well. They actually don't know anything, okay? They actually don't. Anytime I do this, it's like 10, 15 hours before I even feel of studying, before I feel confident to even talk, you know? So, grade it yourself, man. I'll have the link below. And if you find it's correct, which it is, subscribe up, bro. Well in advance. Any of this shit, all right? I do that for you.
I love the condescending, these condescending people. Okay. So that, I feel like that's the type of content that people can watch and it soothes their nerves, right? They see everything going on. They're like, what is this? It seems like a bad idea. Why is this happening? Like, what's going on? And then you have this guy going, don't worry about it. This is all perfect and fine and well in hand. But actually think about what he said. The big benefits he touted were that we'd be able to move resources better through a Central Asian corridor, and that will make prices go down across the world. It's these types of like completely, intemporal, like vague, homologous, just sort of like, yeah, eventually, you know, we need more resources to go through here. That way things will be cheaper. And it's like, okay, you let me know when things get cheaper. You let me know when anything gets cheaper ever. And was starting a war with Iran and creating a toxic black cloud, poisoning 10 million people, was that worth a moderate rise in consumer goods traveling through the Middle East? Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This is like, he's talking about war in which already thousands of people have died. Hundreds of American soldiers have paid the price. And he's like, it's fine because actually, I guess Trump is working with China. Was the insinuation there that China wanted to go through the Belt and Road to go through Iran, but Iran was difficult to work with. Therefore, you have to slaughter their people in air raids and remove them so you can work with China better to make the Belt and Road? Like, what is the insinuation there? Again, when you just hear him say it, it sounds very like intelligent and well-reasoned, but if you actually parse what he's actually saying, it genuinely doesn't make any sense. What is the benefit to this? And it's like, yeah, these countries have stockpiles. It's like, well, first of all, Biden drained our strategic reserve severely. We can show you graphs that show that. They look like line illustrations of cliffs. And that was during COVID. We don't exactly have infinite reserves, but also that's the type of phrase that's like meant to express like they're the ones that understand that they're in control and you're just panicking because you don't get how things are working. But it's like, no, you shouldn't want to use your reserves. How is that a good thing? It's like saying, hey, you're doing this thing that's costing me a ton of money. And you're like, yeah, but you have savings. Like, yeah, but we're not supposed to spend that. We're still spending it. And for what is the question? And how would that not, if you're spending your reserves, you're going to have to fill up those reserves. Like, it's going to have a massive increase in prices of everything because oil affects the price of everything. So if this whole thing is all just to make it a little bit easier to ship resources, even though we were shipping resources fine prior to this, like what is the logic here? What are we talking about? Before the Iran war, was there a big issue about shipping things through the Mediterranean, through the Strait of Hormuz? Was there? No, there wasn't. Okay, so that wasn't a problem that we were solving, but now it'll be easier. Once we do the war, eventually we'll get back to a point like we were just before the war. Therefore, the war is justified. What? Okay, that just genuinely doesn't make any sense. He also just says, like, Trump built consensus around this, which is why there was no opposition. It's like, I don't think that's true either. I don't think the Gulf countries are very happy about how things are going. And consensus with who? Who are you talking about? With Congress? That wasn't Trump doing that. That was decade upon decade of AIPAC infiltration that guaranteed Congress would be on board and that there wouldn't be a lot of resistance there. Like, just again, what is he talking about? What are we doing here? What is this? We'll have a little, he says literally, quote, we'll have a little more direct route to ship goods. It'll be a little bit more direct. Okay. So just spend 4 years of our Patriot missiles, get Tel Aviv bombed to smithereens and kill the Pope of Shiite Islam, because, you know, that way we can shave off a good, you know, quarter of an hour on our shipping, our transit, and then that cost will come tumbling down to the consumer, I'm sure. Like, what are we talking about? This is what this is all for. This is why this is a good thing. And it's this weird, like, his interpretation is this weird thing where he's like, no, this isn't even about China. China's going to do fine out of this. Like, okay, the one thing that actually made this seem like it was kind of worth it was that it was maybe a part of a wider global strategy of dismantling China's influence network. But this guy's like, nah, don't worry about that. China didn't like Iran. This is for China. It's like, okay. And you're selling this to the American people? That's what you're trying to do here? I mean, we keep going and going, but like literally all of it. And, you know, he's talking about something about AI targeting. I can't remember what his comment was about that, but that this was, because he was like, anywhere Iran fires, you know, AI is scanning constantly and identifies it. But it's like, this is why I said it's kind of autistic. It's kind of this like video game mindset, like it's disconnected with the real world. Do you really think that the U.S. is constantly scanning every square foot of Iran and that they have the ability to instantly strike anywhere that a missile launcher emerges? And do you think the Iranians didn't expect this, didn't think about this, and have no contingency plans? How about you have hundreds of missile launch sites that you use once, and then if they're destroyed, it doesn't matter. And once the missile launches, blowing up that site doesn't stop the missile that's already been launched. They also have mobile missile launchers with trucks that fire the missile and then leave. So what are you doing there? I mean, it's like it sounds nice, right? Oh, we're scanning with AI, and whenever a missile pops up, we destroy that site. Yeah, after like a couple hours, like once you scramble the jets there and get the bombing sorties and the Iranians have time to pack everything up and leave or disappear into the tunnel and go to a different entrance somewhere else to fire more missiles. And what do you mean they aren't firing? What do you mean they can't fire missiles? They are literally firing missiles. What are you talking about? They're hitting Tel Aviv on a pretty regular basis. And the videos are pretty astonishing. And like they're hitting radar arrays directly. What are we talking about here? What is this? I understand, like I'm a pro at identifying and counteracting normal propaganda where the truth is twisted or lies are seeded in between truths. But this is just abject lies from everybody on every side. So it's just like, it's hard to even confront because they just assert things. And the only way to combat it is just assert right back that they're wrong. I guess that's what we have to do when there's like Iran's missiles, like Iran can't launch missiles anymore. The only response I have is like, well, yes, they can. So, okay. You know, one of us has video of the thing happening. So I guess the audience can choose who to believe in this case. But when it comes to AI targeting, how confident are we in this? Anthropic AI and Claude has been through some drama with the U.S. recently. Now, I think that has more to do with the fact that they're just not on board with the robotic killing machines and the, you know, New World Order paradigm that, you know, Palantir is central to. So I think they're just being boxed out of defense contracts, you know, purely for ideological reasons, which is sort of the acknowledged thing that's happening. But Robert Wright wrote a expose on this saying Anthropic's Claude helped select hundreds of targets for the opening wave of Iran strikes. There's a good chance that one of them was the elementary school where more than 100 girls died. And as a segment from this article, it says, all of which brings us back to Anthropic, whose Claude model is integrated into Maven, a software that's operated by Palantir and used by the Pentagon to identify targets. The Washington Post reports that, quote, as planning for a potential strike in Iran was underway, Maven, powered by Claude, suggested hundreds of targets, issued precise location coordinates, and prioritized those targets according to importance. Given that the Iranian elementary school was hit on the first day of the war, it seems fairly likely that Claude played a role in the selection of that target and thus in the death of more than 100 young girls, many times more kids than were killed in the worst American school shooting. And of course, they're rolling this out. And actually, just yesterday, a OpenAI engineer quit because she said she would not be involved as an engineer in a program that was designing and is deploying autonomous killing machines that have the ability to take human life without any oversight or insight from an actual human. So they are building that. They are doing that right now. And it's just another horror from all of this war. It's just another, you know, outcome of this war that I would put firmly on the negative column. And the pro column is still glaringly absent for reasons why we would go to this war. Now, he does talk about the SAVE Act. And again, it's this type of thing where it's like, guys, this is all in hand. Trump has this all. You got to get the SAVE Act first, because then there will be electoral consequences for the people opposing him. And it's like, we are over a year into the first year of his second term. The SAVE Act should have been done last summer. How can you say this is all in hand when the prerequisite to do everything else, when the first thing you need to get done hasn't been done in over a year and doesn't look like it's close to being done? Not if Senator Thune has anything to say about it, and he's the guy with the gavel. So Senator Thune, by the way, is doing the same thing that all these groups do, which, again, we need a description for. This is such a popular strategy. It's pure projection on one hand, but there's got to be, it's just discrediting something on the basis that your enemy also likes that thing. I think you'll see what I mean. I got a couple examples from Senator Thune. John Thune suspects that influencers pushing the Save America Act are, quote, paid influencers, despite voter ID having massive support among GOP voters and majority approval across all voters. Thune has been accused of stalling to avoid passing voter ID. So voter ID is just overwhelmingly popular, and obviously so. But voter ID is like 95% of Republicans want it and 75% of Democrats want it. And yet, Senator Thune, without any reason, without any basis for believing so, just asserts these are all paid influencers. Why? Because he wants them to be, because he can't actually, you know, combat or discredit the arguments that people are making in favor of the SAVE Act. So he just has to say, it's like saying they're all crazy, right? Yeah, they're all insane. You don't have to actually address their concerns. They're all paid influencers. Who is paying them? Who are these, you know, mysterious NGOs? Who are these big money, dark money groups that are paying for America to be more sovereign and safer and for our electoral process to be secured? I'd like to meet them. I'd like to be paid by them, I guess, because we're doing this for free because we believe in this, Senator Thune. But this is the strategy du jour. This is what everybody is constantly doing. And in some cases, I mean, well, it's a couple things. For one thing, I think it's boomers learning that they can use this excuse and that it's extremely convenient. Oh, everybody online is against you. Oh, every time you tweet anything, everybody responds negatively. Just say they're paid influencers. Then not only do you not have to like pay attention to them, you don't even have to like internally pay attention to what they're saying. You can just discredit and dismiss them as paid influencers. So I think they just sort of learned about this and are like, great, that's a great excuse to ignore my constituents. But I also think obviously they're all being paid. Obviously, there's a lot of money going into a lot of interests and directing the way people talk about stuff. It ain't in favor of the SAVE Act. And you need some level of discrimination to be able to tell what is a paid influence and what isn't. One hint that something might be, you know, a paid influence is when it's publicly acknowledged that they pay for influence, like how Israel has announced the $7,000 reward for people talking positively about it, or the fact that they routinely bring over huge groups of people, including 1,000 evangelical pastors, to deliberately pay them to spread their message. It's like there are very obvious paid campaigns, and then there are obviously real campaigns. It should not be that hard. In fact, it's not that hard to tell the difference. And you should be very suspicious of people who are trying to discredit real concerns by claiming that they're paid. This one might be the most brazen attempt to do this. I can't even believe that they're going for this, since it's so just patently, like nakedly absurd. From Washington Post, okay, today. The Epstein files are helping pro-Iranian propaganda spread. they're actually saying that the Epstein files are Iranian propaganda. The Epstein files about the Israeli sex trafficker compiled by the American FBI, released by the American Department of Justice under demands by the American Congress. That was an Iranian trick you're falling for if you care about it. It's a trick. Now, he you know, starts off by talking about something that is fake, which is like an AI, you know, video of Trump with little kids. The video's fake, disinformation researchers say. And the account, but the account is a part of a pro-Iran propaganda network that found viral success by tapping into the conspiracy theory that Trump attacked Iran to distract the public from the Epstein files. This is the thing. Nobody needed to tell anybody that he's attacking Iran from the Epstein files. It's abundantly clear the overwhelming similarities, the connections between the Epstein files and the Iran war, the influence of Israel and the pointless wars overseas, the stranglehold Israel seems to have over specifically our administration, who went absolutely bananas when Epstein was brought up, even though they'd campaigned on that. To act like it was an Iranian propaganda campaign that made people connect Epstein to the current Israel war is like an insult to your intelligence. And this is Washington Post. Do you understand how absurd all of this is? Somebody's paying you to want only Americans to vote in elections. Iran is tricking you into thinking that the Israeli sexual blackmail honeypot global controlled network revealed in the Epstein files is connected to Iran. That's Iranian propaganda. You're basically a mullah now. And they've been doing this with Hamas and Tucker Carlson. I mean, it's the same thing over and over. And it's absurd and insulting. And you should be absurd. You should be insulted by the absurdity. They literally say, to erode public support for the joint U.S.-Israeli military operation, Iranian state media has sought to portray those countries' leaders as part of a corrupt and depraved Epstein class or Epstein regime. Oh, did they? Oh, the Iranian regime sought to portray the leadership of Israel and America as corrupt. They didn't have any help with that. Again, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this got published in an American newspaper of record in the Washington Post. They published this article unironically, trying to convince the American people that drawing connections between the Epstein class and the war for Israel's sake is Iranian propaganda. Please tell me you're not falling for this, for the love of God.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this. And this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershow.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandershow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandershow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.